Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today I'll be sharing some of my initial thoughts on the first few days with FSD Beta 10. Before that, we will go through the news. So we've got an update from NHTSA on the investigation of Tesla. We've got news on Giga Texas, maybe some news on the Cybertruck, Rivian, Redwood Materials, really interesting update there. And then after that, we'll talk about the beta. So first things first, Tesla stock on the day today, again, up and down, but finishing up, gaining 0.2% on the day, closing at $744.49. The NASDAQ on the day was down about 0.5%. All right, we'll start off with the update on the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration investigation of Autopilot. Remember, they're looking at collisions, specifically with first responding vehicles. I'll assume most of you are familiar since we've talked about this a couple of times now. But the update today is that NHTSA has actually reached out to 12 other automakers to request data on this investigation as well. So at the end of August, remember, NHTSA requested a whole bunch of information from Tesla. Well, today we've got letters here to BMW, Honda, all the big players, Toyota, Volkswagen, GM, Ford, etc. We can look at the letter to Ford as an example. They're all basically the same. So they say, quote, "This information request is being sent to Ford Motor Company to gather information in support of ODI's comparative analysis amongst production vehicles equipped with the ability to control both steering and braking slash accelerating simultaneously under some circumstances," end quote. So remember, NHTSA had asked Tesla for a pretty thorough set of data on their vehicles, including basically every vehicle that they've sold, software version, firmware version, etc., along with any incidents like crashes or complaints from customers on each of those vehicles. So NHTSA here asking for the exact same information from these other automakers, all those same 11 major categories, each with their own subcategory of data request. NHTSA is asking all these automakers to return this data by November 3rd, and if they don't, they also would face the same penalty that Tesla would face if they don't hit their deadline, which is a couple weeks earlier, of $115 million. So for me, similar thoughts here to what we discussed when NHTSA had requested all this information from Tesla. I wasn't bothered by that because it showed that NHTSA was interested in the data and hopefully was going to do a relatively robust statistical analysis on that data. And I think I even mentioned that they'd probably compare it to other data that they have. And it looks like maybe they don't have a lot of that data. So here, I think they're just collecting that benchmark, which again, I think is totally natural for a regulatory body to be interested in because this is a new era for transportation. They should, within reason, of course, be looking at these types of things so that they can do their job well. If they don't have the data, how are they supposed to make good regulation decisions? My only real concern here is that data can be sometimes misleading. For example, in a case like this, what I do worry about is sort of a surface level analysis that might look at, let's say, crashes per million miles or something like that for vehicles that have an advanced driver assistance system or ADAS engaged. One of the potential problems with something like that, and we've talked a lot about this before, is that not all miles are created equally. So for example, Ford, as we saw in the Sandy Monroe video, it wasn't even able to really handle a sharp, not even a sharp curve on the highway. So the opportunities to even engage the system are going to be much less frequent and in a more generally safe environment versus where a system like Autopilot could be engaged. If that's the only data that is considered and compared, it doesn't present a holistic picture because Autopilot could be functioning in areas that are more dangerous and could actually be reducing accidents under those circumstances, but still end up having more crashes per million miles than a system that is only being used in a very extremely limited set of ODD or operational driving domain. So NHTSA is asking for a lot of information. I hope that means that they will go beyond that sort of surface level analysis. This is something we talk about all the time when Tesla releases their Autopilot safety figures. Not all miles driven are created equally, and those differences need to be controlled for in any sort of comparison. So hopefully NHTSA realizes that. I would expect that they do, and I'm sure Tesla would loudly voice similar concerns if not. If those type of considerations are made, then in general, I think this is a positive move for NHTSA to collect this type of data. Anyway, we'll continue to keep an eye on it. I remain interested, not necessarily concerned. I think the risks are that maybe NHTSA would want to limit Tesla's operational driving domain or apply more driver monitoring, which obviously Tesla's already going down that route with the cabin camera. So I think that's kind of inevitable. And I think that plus switching over to vision only is basically going to solve any of these things that NHTSA is specifically interested in at this point in time, hence why I'm not overly concerned. The last kind of thought that I had on this, I did have to kind of chuckle a little bit that, man, I would just hate to be working in that department for these other automakers and get this letter from NHTSA telling you to do all this extra work because of an investigation of Tesla. I think these companies probably already don't like Tesla enough, and now they're just adding workload. And frankly, I'm not even sure if all these other automakers have as robust of data as what NHTSA is requesting here. So we'll see. All right, next up, we've got a couple of quick updates here on Giga Texas. It looks like from drone flyover video from Jeff Roberts that Tesla is building maybe some sort of stage or something, maybe for a welcoming event or an opening event. We'll keep an eye out over the next few days to see kind of what comes of this little area here, but certainly looks like it could be a stage of some sort. Yesterday, another one of the drone pilots down there, Joe Tagmeyer, shared a couple of photos here suggesting maybe a welcoming event. You can kind of see some welcome balloons through the window of Giga Texas there. And then there are a couple signs here telling Tesla employees where to park. So it looks like Tesla's bringing in staff now, or rather bringing in more staff now, I suppose. So the stage very well could be related to that. Tesla may be just planning on having a private little employee welcoming event there. I don't know, maybe a little concert or something. Who knows with Tesla? We'll keep an eye on it, but either way, encouraging to see this type of activity down there in Austin. Kind of related to Giga Texas, I did want to briefly comment on a photo of the Cybertruck that surfaced on LinkedIn. People kind of wondering if this is a new prototype of the Cybertruck because it is quite shiny in this photo, and there don't really appear to be any door handles like we have seen on the prototype previously. My thought, I'm guessing there's nothing new here. It's kind of a lower resolution photo. I think we just can't see the door handles. I do think they're still there. So I wanted to give my two cents on that, and hey, never hurts to look at a nice photo of the Cybertruck. Speaking of electric trucks, Rivian today announcing that they have produced their first customer vehicle in their manufacturing facility in Normal, Illinois. We had talked back in mid-July about Rivian announcing that they would have to delay their first deliveries to September. Well, now we're there, and it looks like Rivian's staying on track with that revised timeline. So good for them, and congrats on that first production vehicle. Hopefully we'll see many more. All right, last news item, and then we will talk about the beta, but this is an exciting one. So I think we're all familiar with Redwood Materials, founded by former CTO and co-founder of Tesla, JB Straubel, to find solutions for battery recycling. Well, it looks like they do have broader ambitions than just battery recycling. Straubel announcing via Bloomberg here that Redwood Materials is looking to get into battery cathode production, and they've got big plans for that space. So right now they're looking for a location for a factory that they expect to cost them over $1 billion, and they hope to be able to produce enough cathode material for 100 gigawatt hours of batteries by the end of the year 2025. By 2030, they hope to ramp that up to supply cathodes for up to 500 gigawatt hours per year of batteries. That's not the only factory they're considering either. They're looking to build a similar factory in Europe by 2023. So if it wasn't clear earlier why JB had left Tesla, well, I think this makes it a lot more clear. Even with a lot of excitement and a ton of upside for Tesla, there's still probably more for JB here, and he's got more control, and I'd guess a much larger stake of a company that is already valued at above $3.5 billion. So very exciting to see this update from Redwood. That whole Bloomberg article is pretty good, by the way, if you want to check it out. But we'll definitely continue to follow Redwood Materials pretty closely. All right, so that wraps up the news, but let's talk a little bit about the FSD beta. So I've had it about 3-4 days now or so. So still very early, haven't had a ton of time to put many miles on yet. I think the two videos that I've posted so far, that's probably about half the miles that I've done. I've got like a little bit of an internal conflict of wanting to go out and drive it a lot, and then also just wanting to bring people along through that process with videos. You know, that's why I saved my first drive of a Tesla to share on video. That's why I saved the first beta drive to share on video. It's more fun that way, and I think it gives us all just kind of a better perspective. So we're kind of figuring out behind the scenes just the best setup to be able to do that. Certainly more videos and tests and things like that to come, but the intent is for all of that to be supplemental type of stuff. I don't want that replacing what we normally would talk about on a day-to-day basis. Some of the ideas may conflict a little bit, but we'll try to keep that to an absolute minimum. Anyway, in terms of first initial thoughts here, so there's no question about it, that first drive that we had, that was by far the best drive that I have had. I've otherwise mostly done pretty short trips in really challenging spots, so I have had disengagements on those trips. I actually kind of had a funny one earlier today where, for some reason, the car, I think I was confused on the lanes, but it kind of swerved over a little bit. Didn't swerve into anyone, but there was someone in the lane that I was going into, kind of behind. Not a close call or anything, just looked rather erratic. It was erratic, but we pulled up to a stoplight. I looked over, she was motioning for me to roll down my window, and I was sure I was about to get yelled at, and I was more than ready to apologize, but she said, "Oh my gosh, I really love those cars, I really want one, I wouldn't have even been mad if you had hit me," which again, it wasn't even anywhere close to that, but I apologized, I said, "I'm sorry, it's, you know, the car is, it was driving, and it's still learning." She was like, "Oh, don't worry, I know, and then the light changed, and we both drove off, and I don't even really know why I'm sharing this, but I thought it was funny. I guess where I was starting with that is that I am seeing plenty of disengagements. That being said, there have been plenty of occasions as well that I've kind of just sat there and literally out loud just said to myself, wow. I mean, I'm certainly talking to my car a lot more now than I was before. I think even that in and of itself is kind of interesting. You know, it feels a lot more intelligent now, and it is a lot more intelligent now. And it's kind of interesting how that changes how you tend to interact with it. Or maybe I'm just weird, I don't know. But anyway, it's doing a lot of really incredible things. I don't want to take away from that. It is both mind-blowing, and also, there's still a ways to go. That's more the expectation that I had coming into it, and I think that first drive exceeded my expectations for sure. And subsequently, they have normalized a little bit back. But again, that's not taking anything away from this, because it really, truly is incredible. Even with exponential progress, though, and I'm certainly not unaware of how neural networks can make that exponential progress, there are plenty of examples of things like that out there, but even considering that, I do still think there is a long way to go. I'm not going to put a timeline on it or anything, but somebody had asked me, you know, are we going to see level 4 or level 5 this year? And I said, no chance. And I stand by that belief. I don't think that will be too contentious. For timelines beyond that, the what we hope is exponential progress definitely makes those timelines more blurry. Maybe once I can see a few of these iterations, I'll have a better idea of that, but otherwise probably a little premature to speculate on that any further. Anyway, a couple other thoughts here. I haven't really had an opportunity to test it in the suburbs yet, but knowing what I know from being downtown, I think it would be phenomenal. There's just always so much weird stuff going on at the cities, but if you get a clean intersection, you get a light, maybe there are a few cars around, whatever, just a normal driving circumstance. I think in those types of situations, again, I haven't had a ton of time to be in those situations, but from what I've seen so far in those types of environments, I would expect really great performance. I think sort of the acid test is, okay, do you feel more comfortable driving or do you feel more comfortable just kind of monitoring? And I think about how the beta compares with Navigate on Autopilot before getting the beta. And I would say before on Navigate on Autopilot, most of the time I would feel more comfortable or equally as comfortable just monitoring Navigate on Autopilot. There are certain times where you just know it's not going to perform well, take over. But outside of those specific circumstances, otherwise it performs phenomenally well. Even just a few days into the beta, there are already circumstances where I feel, you know, at ease, comfortable, not nervous, and don't mistake any of those for inattentiveness, but comfortable and confident in certain circumstances that the system is going to be able to take care of it. The percentage of time feeling that way is not up to a Navigate on Autopilot level, but that's why I'm talking about suburbs here, because I think in a situation like that, it would be pretty close, even navigating through intersections and turns and things like that. And from that perspective, you know, it really is mind-blowing. So I hope that does a decent job of just kind of communicating my initial thoughts. Feel free to ask me questions. I'll do my best to answer those over coming days and weeks. And I'm sure as I get more miles on there, my thoughts will evolve over that time as well. A couple of common questions that I've seen so far, and actually not really even questions, but more so people explicitly telling me exactly what I should be doing. Thank you. We all love backseat drivers, right? But I know people are just trying to be helpful. Sometimes it's better just to make sure that you've got all the information, though. Anyway, a lot of people telling me I should be reporting things. So just to clarify on that, Tesla actually told me not to report things. I don't know if they said not to or that I don't need to. Don't know why that is. Don't have any other information on that. And I know that is different than previous guidance. But at a certain point, I'm sure those reports kind of just become overwhelming. And I'm not sure exactly how helpful that system actually is versus Tesla just pulling disengagements or seeking out specific circumstances or whatever. But that's why you won't be seeing me doing that. So if you see other people that didn't listen to this commenting that, feel free to let them know as well. The other thing then from that first drive is that I did have my speed limit offset at, I don't know, plus 15% or something like that, just from what I had it on Navigate on Autopilot. The beta works in the same way, so that's why I was going probably a little bit fast in those first videos. So I did realize that, and I've dialed that back. I think it's just a couple of percent now, and I think that'll help in future drives to feel a little bit less aggressive, which I don't mind, but probably good to take it slow first. So those are some of my initial thoughts. I guess probably the last one to add there is that I don't really think we'll see a wide expansion within a matter of weeks. Even if we do see the button, which now seems to be a beta request button, I think the number of those requests that end up getting fulfilled will still be pretty limited. And I would love to be wrong on that, but that's just my intuition at this point in time. But I certainly wouldn't write off the possibility of Tesla surprising me on that, so we'll see. Anyway, that is where we'll leave it for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, September 15th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.